This is Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. Well, the increased debate about the possibility of supervised drug injection sites in Massachusetts has caught the attention of federal law enforcement. Massachusetts U.S. Attorney Andrew Lelling is warning that he will crack down on anyone who opens a site where people could use drugs under medical supervision. And he says his response will be different from the way his office deals with prosecuting marijuana, which is also illegal under federal law. We called U.S. Attorney Lelling earlier today, and we started by asking him why he's opposed to supervised drug injection sites.
If the public decides that it really wants these sites, its fight is not with me. Its fight is with Congress. And Congress has recently demonstrated the ability to reach bipartisan consensus on law enforcement reform. And so that's where proponents should go. On my end, I have a federal statute that on its face would make this illegal, and I'll enforce it. The second prong is that I think that the studies on this are pretty mixed. I am not an expert in public health. And when I look at them, it's not clear that studies find, or reliable studies find, a consistently positive effect.
And there are folks, of course, who say that the studies show to them that death rates are reduced. And instead of debating the studies necessarily, because they have been interpreted differently, I just wonder, overall, though, as in terms of using this as a public health approach, what's your objection?
My real objection is that it is illegal. Rule of law issues matter. And what I have noticed lately, and I think this is the result of increasing political polarization, is people appear more and more tempted to simply ignore federal laws that they don't like. So marijuana, immigration, now supervised injection sites. And it doesn't work that way. So my role, my constitutional role, is to enforce federal law. I do have a philosophical objection, which is that I view it as defeat. I view it as declaring defeat. I think it normalizes drug use, intravenous drug use, and I don't think we should be or need to be doing that. And so I would not take that step.
So let's go back to the U.S. attorney position. When you say, let's try that one first. So when you say you would enforce the law because these are illegal, I wonder, would you be enforcing the law differently than on cannabis businesses, which are legal under state law, but also illegal under federal law? Now, you've said about those businesses, and correct me if I'm wrong, that they're not your focus necessarily, even though they remain illegal under federal law. But would there be a difference in terms of your enforcement efforts if it came to a supervised injection site?
You have not seen this office go after a marijuana dispensary yet. As I said during the public debate on marijuana legalization and licensing dispensaries, that I thought it was a mistake to legalize marijuana, but my resources were pointed elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And my resources were pointed to the opioid epidemic. The position I'm taking now is consistent with that. I'm not going to countenance facilitating distribution and use of opioids to addicts. I can't do that. The opioid epidemic is arguably the number one priority of the Justice Department. And sort of turning a blind eye to injection sites doesn't seem to me to fit with that. It seems to me to be a bad idea.
But I just wonder if philosophically, because of the way you feel, and because that you are fighting the opioid epidemic, that there will be a concerted enforcement effort if somebody does try to open a supervised injection site.
There will be. Barring contrary direction from Washington, either from my bosses at the Justice Department or obviously if there was some kind of legislative change, then there would be enforcement by this office. And that was one of the reasons why I wrote the op-ed. I want everyone to be very clear about this, not just for rhetorical reasons, but because we have the recent debates about marijuana. And so it could be that reasonable people are wondering, sure, it's illegal in the federal code book, but would the feds really act on this? And so I want the public and the policymakers in this area to be aware that the answer is yes. The feds would have to act on this.
So that is different than cannabis.
Yes. It's different than cannabis. And again, I said that when we were talking about cannabis. It's very different.
So I wonder also, is it because in part that we heard that Boston Mayor Marty Walsh and Cambridge Mayor McGovern went up to Canada to look at sites there? Mayor Walsh initially said he was opposed. Then he said he was leaning toward such sites.
We have to talk about what is a safe injection site, what's a safe consumption site, what's the rationale behind it, I think we need to have that dialogue.
Is that why you're coming forward now, U.S. Attorney Lelling?
Yes. Since we're at the earlier stage of debate about injection sites, I think it's important that the public be aware that there are potential downsides to consider. And again, as I said before, that everyone's aware that, at least in this office's view, not only would it be illegal to open one, but we would pursue enforcement if they did open one.
Are there specific actions that you're thinking about legally, civil forfeiture rules for property, prosecuting medical professionals, any and all of the above?
Well, it'll depend on exactly how it plays out. All I can say is that the Controlled Substances Act, for example, allows for civil enforcement. It allows for criminal enforcement. So on the civil side, that would mean perhaps seeking an injunction to block the opening of such a site or civil forfeiture of the premises or equipment. On the criminal side, prosecution of those involved in running a site, if it was up and running. And again, there's forfeiture on the criminal side. So I don't know exactly how this would proceed, but I think those are the tools that are on the table.
You know, we recently heard about a group that has 18 chapters in 8 states, including a chapter that just formed in Massachusetts, and they are very active in Maine. We followed some of them in Maine. They call themselves the Church of Safe Injection. They hand out drug-using supplies to people, clean supplies to people, which is illegal in Maine because it's illegal for people to possess more than 10 hypodermic needles unless they're a certified needle exchange. If such a group were around Massachusetts and handing out clean-using supplies, would that fall under the purview of your office?
I think it would depend. I'd have to think about that. It would depend on what they were handing out and how they were doing it. So there are needle exchanges, for example, and we don't mess around with that, and it seems like good policy to have needle exchanges. So it would depend exactly on what they were doing. I can tell you overall, this office does not prosecute street-level drug addicts. We don't do that. I mean, we agree with everyone else, not everyone else, but I think most policymakers in this area that addicts deserve treatment, deserve help. We're on board with sort of the prevention and treatment approach to the street-level addicts. We spend our time trying to run down the bulk traffickers who are selling it.
And is that what you see as a better solution here?
I think we're seeing the better way evolve. I think that what you've seen over the last few years is the Justice Department realize that it needs to help out with a more holistic approach to this epidemic, meaning you know, people say you can't arrest your way out of the opioid epidemic. I think that's true. Obviously, enforcement helps, and that's our primary task.
Okay. Massachusetts U.S. Attorney Andrew Lelling, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today.
Thanks for having me.
And now back to that group we mentioned during our conversation with U.S. Attorney Lelling. The Church of Safe Injection is handing out clean drug-using supplies in cities around the country, even in places where that's illegal. They say they have a spiritual mission to try to save lives because the public health system has failed. Recently, we went along with some group volunteers in Maine, where the Church of Safe Injection launched a few months ago. On a bitter, cold, recent afternoon at a park in front of the central bus stop in Bangor, about a half dozen people surround a folding table covered with handmade signs. The signs are offering free, clean syringes and naloxone, also known as Narcan, the drug that reverses an opioid overdose.
We have naloxone, the overdose drug. We have clean syringes. We have some safe use supplies, which would be cookers, straps, cottons.
This man goes by Dave Caravaggio, even though that's not his real name. He doesn't want to be identified because it's illegal in Maine to have more than 10 hypodermic syringes unless you're a certified needle exchange. Police cars sometimes circle the park when they're there, but no one's been arrested yet. Oh, there's a police car right there. Police ever stop and talk to you or anything?
There's one officer who's come and talked to us a couple times.
But this time, the police car keeps driving. Caravaggio is a member of the group called the Church of Safe Injection. He says its mission is to help prevent diseases and overdose deaths.
I believe that there's a not just like a moral duty to violate unjust laws, but in this circumstance, a spiritual duty.
Bangor Police Sergeant Wade Betters knows about the group and says he wants to meet with them. He believes their focus should be on getting people into treatment.
You know, if you're committing a crime in the state of Maine, yeah, you could be subject to arrest or ticketed for that offense. But in these particular cases, we generally use a lot of discretion because, again, the goal is the same, to save lives.
At the next stop in Lewiston, police have warned volunteers there not to hand out syringes in a local park, reminding them that it is illegal. But that hasn't really stopped them.
There's one, two, there's three aliens.
Candace Child is in a car packed full of boxes of syringes and other drug-using equipment. Because of the police warning and because it's so cold, Child arranged meeting spots to give people their supplies. We stop at a street corner where two young men wait as she rummages through the boxes.
I'm going to give you 100. Okay. What about alcohol wipes? You need any of those?
Yeah, actually.
Child says she does this because she has a family member who's struggling. She also says there are only 6 certified needle exchange programs in Maine, none in Lewiston.
Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless you.
Child says she's willing to risk arrest because she believes she's doing what government health officials should be.
And why wait? Should we all sit around and talk and point fingers, or should we all get off our ass and go do something about it? This helps. It works. It saves lives. It reduces HIV. It reduces hepatitis.
We head to a third floor apartment where 3 people are waiting to trade containers filled with used syringes for clean ones.
Okay, so we got 60. Do you want some fentanyl test strips, please?
A 36-year-old man who didn't want his name public because he's using drugs is uneasy. He says he's glad to get the clean equipment, but he admits that he's conflicted about whether getting these supplies makes it easier for him to use drugs.
The only reason I struggle is the inner conflict, you know? It's like there's a preventative maintenance, yet at the same time it's enabling, you know?
Even the founder of the Church of Safe Injection, 26-year-old Jesse Harvey, admits that he's struggled with that same question. But working in addiction recovery, Harvey says he's become frustrated by the deaths and the barriers to treatment. So Harvey plans to register the church as a nonprofit and then argue for a religious exemption from drug laws. He says the U.S. Supreme Court has already ruled that a religious group is allowed to use an illegal psychedelic in its rituals. But Harvey's quick to say that he's not advocating legalizing drugs.
We're not saying that it's our sincerely held religious belief that we have a right to use this heroin. No, not at all. We're saying that it's our sincerely held religious belief that people who use drugs don't deserve to die when there are decades of solutions. And the state's not going to do it? Well, guess what? We're going to do it.
Harvey says his church has 18 branches in 8 states, including 1 in Massachusetts. He says he'll eventually have a location that will include a site where people could inject drugs under supervision. For now, though, his congregants will continue risking arrest to hand out supplies.
Wait, don't go yet.
Because you already know how to download a podcast.
But if you have any other tech or life question, maybe we can help you. WBUR is working on a new show, and we need your tech questions.
Or maybe your parents' questions. Just click that little phone-shaped app on your cell phone and leave a message. 617-917-4717.
Yes, we know. How quaint. A phone call. But give it a try. 617-917-4717.